Okay. All right, bro. You say that the counterplan is dispositional. What does that mean?
It means it's prone to movement. Dispositional counterplans means that if the 2EC straight turns the counterplan, that we're obligated to extend all the way through the 2NR. Otherwise, if you prove that the counterplan is not competitive, we reserve the right to revert back to the status quo.
Oh, okay. So you can decide after the 2AC when you whether or not you want to defend the status quo, right?
Right.
So, okay, what if in the after the 2AC you decide to extend the counterplan through the block? Are you obligated to keep it in the 2NR?
No.
Why?
That's just the rule.
Who made up the rule?
Whoever made up the rule that you can kick this is.
Okay, I don't agree with either of those people. Alright, what's the topicality violation?
Our argument is that you all have a state student education policy, not the federal government.
Well, the federal government sets up the guidelines, right? So isn't that a federal policy?
I mean, the federal government is at least involved in the plan in the sense that it tells the states what to do, but in terms of actually substantively implementing the plan, the states do all the work.
Right. The first actor of the plan is the federal government, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how does that abuse your ground, right? Like, you can still get your federalism leak because the federal government is the first actor of the plan, right?
No, our argument is that we really can't get a federal government leak because you can get up and say, sure, the federal government tells them what to do, but states retain all the real power.
Right.
They're still the ones who are doing all the education policy. Like, the federal government tells them what to do, but in terms of actually having the ability to execute it, the states don't lose any power.
Okay, so is this a concession by you that unless you win on topicality, you lose the debate because you can't really get a win?
No, that's just our argument that your interpretation of the topic would justify you making those arguments. By limiting out your affirmative and making you accurate within the federal government, it ensures that we're going to be able to win, or at least argue those links about federalism with a lot more success.
Right, but you still with a lot more success. Does that mean that we have to, in the 1AC, let you win the federalism this that in order to be topical?
No.
Why?
Well, I mean, you're telling me we're not going to allow you to answer this as in the 2AC. It's just that your interpretation of the topic would justify cases that really just wouldn't limit the sentence.
Okay, so you're going to allow us to answer the federalism position, but you're going to restrict the amount of answers that we can make on the plug.
Yes, you can make as many as you want, federalists. We're not going to let you answer the question.
Are you okay?
Yes, I am. A car would be nice, though. What's your next question?
Okay. Okay, now, the term that you read on the affirmative, why isn't it true that the affirmative and the negative would get those terms as well? Like the counterplan, why doesn't the counterplan link as well as the affirmative?
It does.
Okay.
Here we go. First off, safety rent must be established. What's the violation? What? Okay. Yeah. You have to create a policy. Let's go. He has two definitions. So we have those written down. All right. The standards were limits, and he gives an explanation about that. The second is that academic achievement, the wording in the resolution, proved. And the D is the voter, fairness in education. Okay, let's get to the more important stuff. Both counter plan?
Yeah.
Or federal? Doesn't matter. Okay, here's the counter plan. It's a dispositional counter plan. And the text was in the next available test case. We will, the Supreme Court will resolve, one, that the educational policy will be devolved to the states, and two, that Title 9 will be reinterpreted. And they have Observation 1, they're not topical, sorry, little scrunched up there, and Observation 2, solvency, and they read a card. Let's remember what that text says because it's part of the debate. Okay, and then we have federalism. A. What's the uniqueness? Is there zones now? Right. Okay. That's cool. And the link? Wow, they were listening over here. Cool. Okay, that's the educational policy state responsibility. And federal government action has that fit. The two is the middle part talking about how it's zero sum once the state power increases, or once the federal government power increases, the state power decreases. And C are the impacts. The first is the term because it comes from oppression, and that's what the term is called for. And the second is that federalism is modeled internationally. Is everyone seeing this? Or listening at least? Is this helping you?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, now we have observation one. Notice how I write right next to observation one, the answer. Not below, not like on the corner, but like right next to that. Because the debate evolves from left to right, or if you're lefty and you want to go from right to left, that's cool. All right. Observation one, the first one, is that women have higher academic achievement. The second is that the NAEP proves that the gap is shrinking. The third is that gender equity programs are stalling now. And the fourth is that girls... Do you want to
explain
my job? Okay. Girls have self-esteem. All right, cool. Feel free to scream. Okay, now we have three solvency. Notice how these different colors too, so I can keep track of it. Okay, that socioeconomic status is more important. That was 1998. The second is a term saying that single-sex schools would stigmatize girls. One moment. The third is also a term saying that this would lead to sexist instruction. And the fourth is another term saying that it would cause sexual, it would disrupt the sexual balances in public schools because everyone would go to single-sex schools. And the fifth is a term saying that it would increase resource competition. Okay, now when Leslie stands up and answers all of these, you're going to write the answers right next to them. If she says off the first one, you're going to write your 1, 2, 3 answers right next to them. Not on the corner, not on the side, not below. That way, as the debate can evolve, when you go back to your library, you would be able to redo the whole debate. If you had to stand up off of your flow, you should be able to do the whole debate. Okay? And I'm going to keep on flowing for you guys so I can help you guys out. And now, without further ado. Okay, you all know that my job is to go through and answer all the arguments that Russ made. So, I want to tell you the order in which I will be answering his arguments. First, I'm going to answer the topicality argument. Then, I'm going to answer the counter plan, the space counter plan. The next argument I'll answer is federalism. After that, I'm going to go to observation three of the case, which is solvency. And then, finally, I'm going to talk about harm. No, Can you please like do me a favor and maybe raise your hand if you can understand me because the microphone's real echoey. I don't know what you're hearing. Okay? And my mom says she'll take care of it for you. All right, is everybody ready? Yes? Okay.
topicality. Number one, we meet. We establish single-sex schools and bring them into existence. We also establish an educational policy by changing norms that prevent single-sex schools now. Two, we meet. We are an education policy because we mandate goals and mechanisms to use. The plan suggests that single-sex schools are the mechanisms that allow us to reach the goal of equal education. Three, they overlimit. Their limits argument assumes that we prevent any federal government action. The A subpoint, federal government is key to changing these laws and reinterpreting Title IX. The B subpoint, they have no right to bad generic dissads like federalism and Clinton. C, literature is a far better check about because of our specific solvency evidence that the federal government must work in tandem with the states for the plan. Four, there's no in-round view, and you can only vote on what happens in the round and have plenty of evidence to read and arguments to make. Five, there's no effect topicality with the plan. The plan has the federal government mandate to the state single-sex schools. Our federal government policy alone allows for single-sex schools, forcing the states to adjust our specific mechanism of enforcement. Six, counter-definition. Establishments to strengthen or fortify Black's Law Dictionary in 90. A subpoint, we meet because we strengthen understanding of Title IX with clarification. Little d, this provides a better limit because people are tied to what already exists in the literature about education policy. The counter-count. One, permutation. Do the plan and then have the Supreme Court and the next available test case give all educational power to the state. This solves our federalism link and the test case comes after the plan. Two, solvency delay. The counterplan has to wait for the first available test case while the plan is immediate. Any delay is bad for men and women in co-educational schools. Three, permute. Do the plan and counterplan. The federalism link will be overwhelmed and solved better by reinterpreting Title IX twice. Four, there's no solvency. The Supreme Court does not have the specific clarifying ability of the federal government, and these decisions are lower profile, so states will still be afraid of lawsuits. Even if they win, they don't want suits at all. That's the straight matter evidence in the 1HC. Five, reformers use courts to solve, but the courts fail to solve social problems because of low visibility, Rosenberg in 91. Constitutional changes notwithstanding, the lower courts are reluctant to treat formally that which has traditionally been treated informally, and they refuse to consider solemnly, which has usually been taken lightly. For many officials, what the Supreme Court did simply didn't matter much. Six, there's no solvency. Their solvency evidence is not specific to single-sex schools. Only our evidence is specific to the necessity of the federal government in taking action. Seven, no solvency. Because only the plan mandate action is taken, and their solvency becomes probabilistic, they wait for the next available test case and can't guarantee enforcement. Eight, there's no solvency. The courts don't produce social change, only Congress and court action can solve. Rosenberg again in 91. Before Congress and the executive branch acted, courts had virtually no direct effect on ending discrimination in the key fields of education, voting, transportation, accommodations in public places, and housing. Only when Congress and the executive branch acted in tandem with the courts did change occur in these fields. In terms of judicial effect, Brown and his progeny stand for the proposition that courts are impotent and to produce significant social reform. Nine, empirically state controlled means of discrimination, Farrakhan in 97. The long history of legal discrimination against African Americans demonstrates that states cannot be trusted in all dimensions of public policy. Competition among states is unlikely to prevent particular states from abrogating certain citizen rights, such as the right to vote and public participation on an equal basis. The last argument, number 10, dispositionality is bad. Excuse my time, and it allows them to run contradictory arguments in the one issue. It should be a voting issue. Federalism. One, there's no link. The states want to experiment with single-sex schools now, so the federal government just mandates are no different than what they want in the status quo. That's the straight matter evidence. Two, the internal link and link are empirically denied because education policy is dominated by the federal government. Finn in 99. Hold on to your hat and lock your children up someplace safe. The era of big government is back with a vengeance. We're looking at an ethical enlargement of federal control of U.S. schools. Not just the heyday of federal courts and versions of the school management in the name of desegregation if we see anything like the comic power grab. This letter this time is nothing worse than the constitutional rights. It is the lure of federal dollars. Three, no link. Specific sexual harassment rulings haven't upset the federal and state balance to cause the impact, USA Today in 99. The nation's school children learned from their first lesson of federalism in a classroom where the federal government is the ever-present regulator. Many school districts desperate to avoid Title IX peer harassment suits will adopt whatever federal codes of student conduct and discipline the Department of Education sees fit to impose. Four, link terms. We increase state power for two reasons. A subpoint. We solve the counterplan permutation by dissolving all educational power to the state. B, the plan allows the states to do what they want, and in this case, federal education policies can increase state power, which takes up their internal links. More in 91. Federal and state program interactions portray a robust, diverse, and interdependent federal state governance system. Federal program signals seem to be significant influence on other states' actions with respect to management of federal programs and with respect to other state programs. Federal growth and influence in education has been paralleled by the growth and influence of state governments and has expanded state responsibility and power as well. 5. No blame. We solved our NELA 92 evidence by creating a cooperative federalism that is lost in the status quo. 6. There's no internal link. There's no evidence that one change in the balance of power between states and the federal government is enough to permanently skew the federal-state relationship and cause total loss of federalism. 7. There's no impact. Their impact doesn't come to case because it's not specific to our policy, and there's no internal link to rampant governmental oppression. 8. There's no internal link to the modeling arsenal to see if their burden of proof that the plan is big enough to be modeled. 9. There's no impact to the Ornstein evidence. There's no reason or internal link for how this one policy is the key to checking worldwide wars since these wars are inevitable, and the impact is comparatively benign. At the time, their arguments are not responsive to three, count them, three of our impact claims. 1. Self-esteem decreases in the status quo, and we have that high self-esteem for women to check AIDS, pregnancy, drug abuse, etc. That's the Komen evidence. 2. The police evidence, the first week's policy evidence, is conceded against the plan falls by allowing for role models and breaking down all traditional gender stereotypes. 3. They also dropped the last piece of the police evidence in the way because the plan changes the stereotypes which allows for an overall changing of the male culture. No answer to any of these. Now the solvency argument is proper. Option number 1. They say socioeconomic status is more important. 1. Cross the light of the police evidence and socioeconomic status is not key answers and address our self-esteem argument. 2. Critics say the data supporting single-sex schools is taken from upper-class private schools, but our studies control for socioeconomic backgrounds and still prove single-sex schools are good, from Queens to 94. A study controlling for socioeconomic background found that girls from all female institutions outperformed their co-educational peers. Other studies did proper justice to student background and still revealed favorable results for both boys and girls. Option number 2, single-sex schools cause stigma. 1. It only includes math and science class, but not an entire school of all women or an entire school of all men. 2. It's outweighed by the impact suggested in the overview. 3. It extends the police evidence to solve stereotypes and the male culture. Number 3, they say that single-sex schools promote sexist instruction. 1, it's not a unique term. We make it better a little bit by decreasing the bias that occurs in the classroom. 2, it concedes the harm that teachers are rude to women, and we change stereotypes which allow to solve it. Number 4, he says terms, single-sex schools upset social imbalances. There's no impact. There becomes one. I get new answers. Number 5, he says term, resource competition causes sexism. 1, CF solves it. Equal enforcement and Title IX guarantee that all schools will get exactly what they need. 2, the empirical solvency of the plan takes it out. The third argument is there's not an impact. It's not a unique term. And if anything, we make it a little better. The last argument is there's no internal link to the widespread national impact of any new impact analysis justifying new answers in the 1AC. Harm. Groups of 1 through 4 that women have higher academic achievement. 1. All of these assume that grades are key, not as they do, and don't just a self-esteem issue. 2. It's irrelevant if self-esteem decreases. It's irrelevant whether if girls have higher grades, if their self-esteem is decreasing, that's independently bad. That's the common evidence. 3. Women lose the ability to learn from their failure. That's also in the common 1AC evidence. 4. It is absolutely irrelevant because women are sexually harassed in the status quo, which is epidemic. 81% of girls and 76% of boys report being subjected to sexual harassment, common in 98. Although girls are not receiving their teachers' attention, they are receiving a welcome sexual comments and physical advances from boys in junior high and high school. 81% of girls and 76% of boys reported they've been subjected to some form of unwanted sexual behavior. Instead of handling sexual harassment as serious misconduct, school authorities treated it as a joke, as boys being boys. This treatment caused girls to lose faith in the ability of their school to protect them. Next, there's no such thing as too much achievement. That means if the plan increases it, that's not bad.
Why is this position out in voting issue?
Well, because you run contradictory arguments in the 1NC, and I think that's it. You make the argument to counter plan, solve the plan, and long sleeve the argument that solving for the plan is bad.
Our whole argument on this position out is that if you stray from the counter plan, that we're stuck with it. So why doesn't that provide you a strategic advantage? Concede all the case turns and then concede the counter plan and we would lose. So isn't that really an advantage to you that you just didn't take advantage of?
Well, no, because the way that you structured the 1NC was such that even if I conceded all the reasons why the plan doesn't solve, you see what I'm saying? Like, even if I conceded all the turns, we caused them too. And then it becomes a debate about federalism, which is skewed onto your ground, which I don't think is fair. On top of that, you change the time allocation of the two aces.
So you're saying it's not fair for you to be able to win a debate, turn in a dissent?
I do think that's fair. Here's what I don't think is fair. You get to, if you want, all of a sudden advocate the world of not the counter plan two, three, four speeches later. And here's the thing. It changes my answers to federalism when I assume that your uniqueness for federalism comes from the counterclaim.
So which answers did you or did you not make? Like, what answers can we not make in this federal?
I can't make any non-uniqueness arguments. Because you've counterclaimed now with a counterclaim, and if you kick it, then I have lost the strategic advantage that comes with making those arguments. You know?
Sure, okay. On the case, like, your argument is that grades aren't important, that self-esteem is what's important, but your second common evidence in e-service, the 1AC, says that what the reason that girls have low self-esteem is they have low achievement. So, if we prove that that's what your card says, I mean, I see you shaking your head with contempt, so maybe you should have told Johnny to read different cards, but...
There's a couple reasons why that's wrong. The first reason it's wrong is someone else says women are sexually harassed and that lowers their achievement. That's the evidence that I just read. You're right, what's in the 1AC? But she makes a threefold argument. First, women get lower grades. Second, women get ignored by teachers in the classroom, right, which means they don't have an opportunity to learn from their failure. And third, they're sexually harassed, which means even if you prove that women have higher grades, it's wholly irrelevant to, like, sort of like the four other internal links. So, well, right, okay.
I thought there were only two of those.
Well, I sort of see that the self-esteem issue is also being one that says that by creating single-sex schools, we solve stereotypes and we solve male
self-esteem. So the internal link argument to your low self-esteem, which causes bad stuff like suicide and pregnancy, is girls get less attention from teachers, they get sexually harassed at school, and they make lower grades. Would that cover it, do you think?
I think it's also, part of it is also the vital stereotypes that exist in schools, also chronically lower.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. You claim at the top of the case to solve for all gender stereotypes. How would you solve for people that are already out of school? Like people like me who don't go to secondary school anymore.
Right, you're totally right. I mean, our argument, though, is the changing culture has to start somewhere, and that starts in the schools with the children of people who weren't part of this new understanding of schooling, and that's where it starts. So you dropped it.
All right, how do you feel about that? No control of me. A little further. Okay. Let's take a look at top 10. So I have to go to St. John's for the one. Are they going to try the
last? All right. All
right. Top 10. Here we go. Top 10 established. There were six answers. She had a bunch of little A's and B's. So you want to do this. The first thing we meet, they establish the sexual to change the norms now. The second thing they meet, they mandate goals and mechanisms. And yeah, 6.1. The third is recognition for over limits. Her first A was the federal government's team, the B I didn't get. And she's what's the B? Who got the B?
What?
All right, confirm somebody got the B at your table, you should write it down. And then somebody come and tell me. All right.
What is it?
Something about how right you're going to have advantages. Yeah. Right, okay, but they don't have a right to federalism. The fourth is, there's no way to have to do, but this is that they're not a federal capital. The sixth is the counter-definition, she's had two ABCs that are in a space. But Russell explained it. All right, now we have the counter-plan. First was the permutation. What's the permutation? Do the plan and then allow them to just test case when it comes up, right? Okay, the second is self-esteem delay, they have to wait. The third is permutation. From you to both, they'll interpret it twice as better. The fourth is they don't resolve, they don't clarify, because then the state can be afraid. The fifth is that courts fail, that's Rosenberg evidence. The sixth is that they don't resolve, there's no specific self-esteem evidence. Then we have the seventh is they don't solve, they have probable self-esteem. The eighth is they don't solve, only Congress and court action together can solve. And that was also Rosenberg, I think. The ninth is state control leads to discrimination. And the tenth is suspicionality is bad, and that's for voter. Okay. Federalism. Did I?
That's just.